Greetings, my friends. Welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Only a master writer could translate history into literature. Only a master would take this path in a language not his own. And only a master could reveal China since the revolution, one story at a time. Our guest, Ha Jin, is a master. Ha Jin has transformed the figures, statements, and ideas found in history books about China into universal images of human struggle. He has done it in English. His stories of individual Chinese people's emotions, ideas, and minds show how they function in a particular environment. Ha Jin has become a major literary figure by opening to us the China he knew growing up after Chairman Mao took power in 1949. What distinguished China from the U.S. in those days?
There was enormous confidence in humanity. For instance, Chairman Mao would say, the pleasure to fight heaven, the pleasure to fight earth, the pleasure to fight humans. See, absolutely confidence in humanity. I think that's very dangerous, very, very dangerous for a culture, especially for a tribe, to have that kind of mentality. I think more and more Chinese now are aware or began to embrace some kind of religion. I think that's good. It doesn't have to be Christianity. I think the more spiritual life one has, the more human we may become, I think.
Ha Jin won the National Book Award for his novel, Waiting. He is a native of China who came to the U.S. to study at Brandeis University in 1985. Following Tiananmen, he chose not to return. It was only then that Ha Jin began to write stories in English. Now he's a U.S. citizen widely acclaimed for his literary genius. Ha Jin has also won the Pan Hemingway Award, the Flannery O'Connor Award, and the Pan Faulkner Award. His collection of short stories in The Bridegroom brought Ha Jin to Bill Russell's and my attention. We were delighted to have this world-class artist introduce us to a China that is often a great mystery to outsiders. Ha Jin, as I was thinking about this conversation, an old phrase came up in my mind that I've heard all my life, but it took on a whole new meaning as I read your work and looked forward to this. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Is this
true? Yes.
And I had the feeling as I was getting acquainted with China through your literature, the more things change, perhaps the more they stay the same.
Yeah, people are the same. Yeah, same. You know, with other peoples as well. Yeah.
As you were writing your wonderful stories, did you have a sense of that continuity of how people are people and whether the political system is one way or another and the winds of political change don't seem to move your characters very much?
Yeah, they only produce kind of context for them. And
context?
Yes, and so on surface, in appearance, they may appear different, strange, but at the core, everybody is similar. I think as human beings, we all have the same desires, same hopes, same kind of feelings.
I was particularly struck by, and again, as a Westerner and outsider, I may be wrong about all of this, but it seemed as if the factory, the work unit, is the village all over again. That yeah. yes, there's a different political structure. We have different names.
It's a company, like a company.
The
a
company,
school, yes,
and that the families are the families, but they're not much different as Chairman Mao comes to power, and then the Red Guard changes things with the Cultural Revolution. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the fabric of daily life, the texture of daily life, to a large extent, remain the same, I think. And also, I think the humanity may have been manifested in different forms, but the at heart, people are the same, and the frustration, the sadness, and all the happiness are very similar. But they may be expressed in different forms.
Mm-hmm. It was striking to me to watch, I think, your characters, in different, particularly in your short stories, adapt to the various changes in the politics.
Yes.
During the Cultural Revolution, the mm-hmm. you know, same people, but the pressures were different, and they had to respond to those pressures in different ways.
Yes, people somehow extremely resilient, I would say. You know, they can always adapt themselves to new situation, and sometimes too much. I think most people would change too readily.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Change too readily.
Sometimes, yes. For instance, in the value system, toward the end of the bridegroom, the story collection, you see money gradually have become a major dominant force in their lives.
Absolutely.
Before that, money was not that important. So apparently, that's a major trouble in Chinese society. The values change so rapidly, very often reflect the political changes. As a result, people very often adapt themselves to the changes.
I would think that that would lead to cynicism on the part of the people.
Yes. The smart ones, intelligent ones.
Who also kept their mouths shut, I mean.
Yes.
At least.
True.
Our guest is Ha Jin. We're going to be back in just a moment and have the pleasure of continuing this conversation. Bill Russell and I are honored that Ha Jin is our guest. We hope that you will stay with us, and we will return shortly.